the supplication on Fridays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, the first before the bringing forth and the giving of life, and the last after the annihilation of all things. The All-Knowing who forgets not him who remembers him, and decreases not him who thanks him, and disappoints not him who supplicates him, and cuts not off the hope of him who hopes in him. O Allah, I call thee to witness, and thou art sufficient witness. And I call to witness all thy angels, and the inhabitants of thy heavens, and the bearers of thy throne, and thy prophets, and thy messengers whom thou hast sent out, and the various kinds of creatures thou hast brought forth, that I bear witness that thou art Allah. There is no God but thou, thou alone, who hast no associate nor any equal, and thy word has no failing nor any change. And that Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, is thy servant and thy messenger. He delivered to the servants that with which thou charged him, and he struggled for Allah as is his due. And he gave the good news of the truth of reward, and he warned of the veracity of punishment. O Allah, make me firm in thy religion as long as thou keepst me alive, and make not my heart to swerve after thou hast guided me, and give me mercy from thee. Surely thou art the giver. Bless Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, and make me one of his followers and his partisans, and muster me in his band, and give me the success of accomplishing the obligatory observance of Friday, and performing the acts of obedience which thou hast made incumbent upon me within it, and receiving the bestowal which thou hast apportioned for its people on the day of recompense. Thou, only thou, art the mighty wise.
IRIB English Radio in the month of Muharram presents today's special. Every day for 15 minutes.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, salam, Allah's peace be upon all of you. Thank you very much for joining us. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. In this episode, we're going to speak about crying for Imam al-Hussein, peace be upon him. I invite you to join us.
كربلا لا زلت كربا وبلا ما لقي عندك يا آل المصطفى
كربلا لا زلت كربا وبلا ما لقي عندك يا آل المصطفى كربلا كربلا.
Today, Thursday, is the 27th of Muharram, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar. corresponding to the 3rd of Shahrivar, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 25th of August, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. This is Allah's book, the Holy Quran. We listen to it. We choose for you to listen to chapter Ash-Shura, verse 23.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. ذلك الذي يبشر الله عباده الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات. قل لا أسألكم عليه أجرا إلا المودة في القربى ومن يقترف حسنة نزد له فيها حسنا إن الله غفور شكور.
It is that of which Allah gives good tidings to His servants who believe and do righteous deeds. Say, O Muhammad, I do not ask you for this message any payment, but only goodwill through kinship. And whoever commits a good deed, we will increase for him good therein. Indeed, Allah is forgiving and appreciative.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Love for the relatives of the Prophet alludes to the question of the divine guardianship and leadership of the infallible Imams as descendants of the noble Prophet of Islam. It is actually the continuity of the guardianship of the noble Prophet, peace be upon him and his family, whose acknowledgement evidently leads to the happiness of mankind, and they shall reap the rewards thereof. The most exalted excellence for man is to obey divine leaders, love them, proceed on their path, inquire about ambiguous issues, and ask for their expositions. This part of today's special, we read the dua of Rasulullah for those who shed tears. The Prophet heard women wailing from the house of Hamza and asked, "What is this?" He was told, "These are the Ansari women who are mourning your uncle Hamza." Rasulullah then supplicated for them, "O Allah, be happy with them, their children and their children's children." Rasulullah, peace be upon him and his family, made dua for women who breached the verses demanding patience. Rather than incurring the wrath of Rasulullah, they attained the blessings of the Prophet who prayed for them and their future generations.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bihi nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with shedding tears in favor of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. In a great majority of cases, in a great majority of books concerned with Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, or concerned with religious rites or religious ceremonies in the Shia world, we find that all of them are regarded as some necessary aspects or necessary rites to be observed in relation to making pilgrimage to Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Right from the time of event of Ashura up to now, and for sure up to the rest of the world, to the end of the world, shedding tears in favor of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam is a sign of being a true believer in the case of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, in the personality, character, and career of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Not only among Shiis, but also among Sunnis, or among many people who may not be Muslim, but they feel sympathy with Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, we find that in such cases, for example, lamentation or enchanting mercies or offering such lectures or attending such mournful lectures, all of them are signs of belief, and I mean staunch belief in the Shia denomination. At the same time, we find that not only Shiis, I mean people are strongly recommended to attend such ceremonies. Rather, in the time of the infallible imams, they themselves were really persistent on practicing these rites and rituals.
On the month of Muharram and the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his family and companions, be with today's special. Every day from IRIB English Radio. People rise up and mourn. It is Ashura. See the struggle of Hussein in the Kabbalah. We're speaking about the history and philosophy of Azal Hussein in this episode of today's special. Be with us, please. Both the fourth and fifth Imams greatly encouraged Azal Hussein. In their times, Azal Hussein had to be performed in utmost secrecy, as the regime was opposed to any remembrance of Karbala. The poets who composed elegies and the devout Shias who attend the gatherings at which these elegies were recited did so at the risk of their lives. Nonetheless, the poets continued to pour out their emotions in their poetry. Some of this poetry are extant today, and one can see the intensity of faith and sadness enshrined in the words of the poets. Gradually, the institution of Ziyarah came into being. People would visit the graves of the martyrs and there perform Azal Hussein, or imams wrote for them ziyarats to be recited. One of these ziyarats is reciting today by us and is known as Ziyarat al-Warith.
Assalamu alayka ya Abu Abdullah. وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار فلا جعله الله آخر العهد من زيارتك السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين الذين بذلوا مهجهم دون الحسين عليه السلام
According to the Holy Prophet, Mu'mineen will never abandon their grief for Hussein ibn Ali, peace be upon him. The Holy Prophet said, surely there exists in the hearts of the Mu'mineen with respect to the martyrdom of Hussein a fire that never extinguishes. Imam Sadiq, peace be upon him, said, Allah has appointed to be the grave of Imam al-Hussein 4,000 anguished
and grief-stricken angels who weep over him and should continue to do so until the day of judgment. Imam Ali, peace be upon him, said to Ibn Abbas once when he happened to pass by Karbala, Jesus, alayhi salam, Isa, sat down and began to weep. His disciples who were observing him followed suit and began weeping too, but not comprehending the reason for this behavior, they asked him, O Spirit of Allah, O Ruhullah, what is it that makes you weep? Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, said, Do you know what land is this? The disciples replied, No. He then said, This is the land on which the son of the Prophet Ahmad shall be killed. Sayyid Abbas Razavian.
Realizing and understanding the Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam through nur and light. This is something that is very possible to do, and is something that has been done in history. We have in one of our traditions, a group of people from Yemen, a group of worshippers, good people, they came to the Prophet inquiring about his successor. So the Prophet gave him a verse of the Quran, and they kept asking, then who is this? Who is this Hablullah? You attach yourselves to the rope of God. And then they kept asking, and finally he says, basically go out in the lines of salat, in congregation salat, and find, you will find him yourself. See who your heart inclines towards. So they began to walk, this group of Yemeni worshippers. They began to walk and walk, and then they saw one person that they were sure that was their successor, the successor of the Holy Prophet. So they come back to him, and he says, is it him? And then the Prophet says, yes, you know, he affirms the fact that it is Ali ibn Abi Talib, it is Imam Ali. And he asks him, how did you know? And the Yemenis in this hadith, they say that in this tradition, they began crying and saying, O Messenger of God, we looked at the people, but our hearts did not incline to any of them. When we saw this man, our hearts trembled, and then our souls felt assured. Our eyes shed tears, and chests became pleased, as if he was our father, and we were his children. So these worshippers, they understood who the successor, who deserved imamat after the Holy Prophet. Who was the imam after the Holy Prophet, the guide, the leader, the guardian. And why? Through ma'rifat nuraniyah. That is how they did this. And then it says that the Prophet of Islam later on talked about how these people would follow and predicted that they would follow Imam Ali, and this was true. They continued and were loyal to Imam Ali, and many of them fought with him, alongside Imam Ali against in the Battle of Safin, in the Battle of Jamal. They participated and were martyred in such battles. So this is a hadith that shows us that you have the ability to see and witness nur and light of imamat through your hearts. And when we reach this maqam al-mahmud, inshallah, that we see, that we said in Ziyarat Ashura, we connect to the imams with this nur and light, and we start, inshallah, becoming part of them and like them.
Dear brothers and sisters, that was all for today's special. Thank you very much for joining us. Keep us in your prayers and morning gatherings. Fi amanillah.
Allahumma ij'al mahyaya mahyaya مماتي
Food for Thought.
Hello, dear friends, and how about listening to a bezel of wisdom from the Holy Prophet's fourth infallible heir, Imam Zainul Abidin, or Imam Sajjad, peace be upon him. The best key for all affairs is truth, and the best end of all affairs is faithfulness and loyalty.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we would like to recite for our esteemed listeners a beautiful hadith which has been passed down to us from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. This hadith is about sustenance, risk, and what increases risk and sustenance, and what causes it to descend. Specifically, it is about the reciprocal relationship between charity and the increase in sustenance. You know, this is one of the propositions, one of those religious propositions, which are, if we don't say they're, it's contrary to reason, if not anything, it is something that reason cannot really understand. You know, we can divide religious propositions found in religion, into two basic categories. One are those set of propositions which reason positively affirms. And the second is the set of propositions in religion which, although reason does not necessarily negate, but it doesn't have anything to say about it positively or negatively. Meaning, reason here doesn't really work. Our minds can't really understand this. If you were to ask a person, if you give away money, you know, what will become of your wealth? Well, obviously the person would say that, as far as I can understand, the wealth of this person who gives it away would decrease. But according to religion, as we will see in this beautiful hadith and narration, it is only by giving away wealth in the form of charity that our sustenance can increase. The Prophet Muhammad said, increase your charity and you will be provided more. And this is a theme that is echoed in a lot of other hadiths. Like, for example, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in another hadith has been narrated to have said, sustenance comes to those who feed others faster than a knife can cut through flesh. Right? So the first hadith we recited, it affirmed the converse relationship between charity and wealth and sustenance. And the second one, it alludes to the almost like the necessity between these two, between charity, giving away wealth in the form of charity, and the increase in sustenance, in the sense that there's an immediate response and reaction to charity in the form of the increase in sustenance. In the same vein, Imam Ali alayhi salam has reported to have said, helping out one's brother in faith from one's own wealth for the sake of Allah increases sustenance. So this hadith is interesting in the sense that it kind of alludes to the person to whom we should give our charity away, to our brother in faith. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at charity and its relationship with the increase in sustenance from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وجل فرج.
Okay, the next rule tells you and how to stop and the words, okay, were at the end of the verses of the Holy Quran. If you have what happened, we said that if we have Tanween Fatha, we will change it to Alif Mat, right?
Yes.
We will change Tanween Fatha to Alif Mat. But what if we have Alif Mat?
We change it to Sukun.
MashaAllah. We change it to?
Sukun.
Nothing. You're wrong. You're wrong.
It's still Sakin, so you turn it to Sukun, no Mat.
No, it's not Sakin, it's Alif Mat. It has an A sound.
So nothing remains the same?
So it's still the same sound as...
What if, yeah, what if it has Waw Mat?
Nothing.
Waw Mat?
Change it to Sukun.
Yeah. What if it has Ya Mat?
Change it to Sukun.
Nothing.
No, no changes.
No changes.
No changes.
It will remain Mat.
Yes. Look at the surah. Surah Abbas. Abasa wa tawalla. Surah Abbas. Are you there? Okay. Let's recite. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
Bismillahir rahmanir rahim.
Bismillahir rahmanir rahim.
Abasa wa tawalla.
عَبَسَ وَتَوَلَّى.
Okay. Alif Mat Tawalla, right?
Yes.
But remember, if it has a mad, okay? A mad. Like four counts, six counts. So when you stop, do not pronounce that mad. Do not prolong it. Look, Tawalla has a mad. Because if you join it to the next ayah, it becomes this way. عَبَسَ وَتَوَلَّى أَن جَاءَهُ الْأَعْمَى. But if you stop at tawalla, the mad will be no longer a mad, okay? Just two counts, that alif mad.
Yes.
Enough. Abansa wa tawalla. Do not say abansa wa tawalla. No. We learned it in the mad lessons, okay? We had a natural mad.
Yes.
Which was alif mad, waw mad, ya mad. So whenever you stop, that is, if it has alif mad, it is natural mat and it stays the same. Okay, Fawad?
Yeah, no change.
So, عَبَسَ وَتَوَلَّى.
عَبَسَ وَتَوَلَّى.
أحسن. أَن جَاءَهُ الْأَعْمَى.
أَن جَاءَهُ الْأَعْمَى.
وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ لَعَلَّهُ يَزَّكَّى.
وما يدريك لعله يزكى.
Okay, like this. Okay, yes. So if you have alif mad, change it to
nothing.
Change it to nothing. Okay, now let's take a look at yai mad. فلينظر الإنسان إلى طعامه. Ayah 24.
Yes.
Okay. No. Go back to ayah 17.
Yes.
17. Wow, Matt. قُتِلَ الْإِنسَانُ مَا أَكْفَرَهُ. There's a baby wow. Is it wow, Matt, or no?
Yes.
Yes, it is wow, Matt. So, do we change it to wow, Matt?
No.
We said this, if a letter has dhamma, we change it to sukun. That is then the previous rule, yes?
Yes.
But let's take a look at the next. If there is, like, for example, Rabbi, for example. Rabbi, does it end in Ya Madi or no? Rabbi.
Yes,
Hussein?
Yes.
So if you stop here, what do you say?
Rabbi.
Rabbi, that's the same. No changes. So just remember, Wawa Mad, Alif Mad, Ya Mad will be?
No changes.
Change to nothing. Yes. Remain the same, okay? They will stay the same. Okay, that's it. Now, let's go to the next rule, which is actually about the qalqala rule. So whenever, Fawad, you stop at a word that ends with Qutbijat letters. What were the Qutbijat letters?
Qutbijat.
Qaf,
Ta,
Pa, Ba, Jim, Da.
Yes.
So whenever they are sakin, you got to produce a bouncing sound, yes?
Yes.
Al-Ghala sound, okay. So whenever you stop at a word having one of these letters, you change the harakat to sukun, okay? If they do not have a tanwin fatha, okay? But you also produce a bouncing sound. That's
like Ahmed.
Yeah, Ahmed. Qul huwa Allahu
Ahad.
Ahadun. It has tanwin dhamma.
Yes.
So tanwin dhamma, we said it will be changed to sukun. But because it is the letter dal and it becomes sakin, what?
Qalqalarul. Yes.
Qul huwa Allahu Ahadun. Now you got to change it.
قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ
أحسن اللَّهُ الصَّمَدُ
اللَّهُ السَّمَدُ
لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ
لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ
Because it ends in sukun, that stays the same. Okay. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ
وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ
أحسن أحسن
هذا القرآن يوحدنا لطريق الخير يوجهنا الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله معلمنا ورسول الله معلمنا هذا القرآن
Want to learn Quran at home? Join us in our Quranic class. Let's recite the Quran.
Let's recite this surah as well, okay? Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
Qul a'udhu bi rabbil falaq.
قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ
أحسن فلق changes to سكون with a قلقلة with a bouncing sound مِن شَرِّ مَا خَلَقَ
مِن شَرِّ مَا خَلَقَ
أحسن وَمِن شَرِّ غَاسِقٍ إِذَا وَقَبَ
وَمِن شَرِّ غَاسِقٍ إِذَا وَقَبَ
أحسن وَمِن شَرِّ النَّفَّاثَاتِ فِي الْعُقَدِ
وَمِن شَرِّ النَّفَّاثَاتِ فِي الْعُقَدِ
أحسن وَمِن شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَدَ
وَمِن شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَدَ
أحسن أحسن just one more rule is left, okay? Actually, two more. They are easy. Whenever you see a noon having shadda on the top, noon mushadda, that baby W.
Yes.
Okay.
Tashdid.
So, yeah, tashdid. You have this. Whenever you want to stop. Okay. Whenever you stop.
Okay.
Just remember that you have to produce a ghunna sound. A ghunna sound. Did you get it?
Yes.
For example, latus'alunna. How do you stop here? The noon has fatha, yes? Fatha will be changed to?
Sukun.
Sukun, that's easy. Yes. But because it has a tashdid, noon mushaddad, just a ghunna sound for two counts. Latus'alunna. Now, recite it. Stop here.
Latus'alunna.
Not na. Na will be changed. Fatha will be changed to sukun.
Yes.
The way Hussein recited. Hussein, do it.
Latus'alun.
Ahsan. Latus'alun. That's it. Latus'alun. All right. Easy. Simple as that, yes?
Yes.
Go to Surah At-Takathur, page 600. Al-Hakum At-Takathur. It starts with Al-Hakum At-Takathur. It has this example, okay? Fawad, do you want to recite this? Surah At-Takathur? Who wants to recite? So, Fawad Haider, want to recite this surah? Go on, Fawad. MashaAllah. A'udhu Billah.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألهاكم التكاثر
أحسنت
حتى زرتم المقابر كلا سوف تعلمون ثم كلا سوف تعلمون كلا لو تعلمون علم اليقين لترون الجحيم
stop here لترون has noon مشدد yes if you stop here how do you say this
لترون
أحسن لترون with two counts غنة
yes
yeah with yes. a غنة two counts okay لترون that's it لترون الجحيم next آية
ثم لترونها أين اليقين
mm-hmm.
ثم لتسألن يومئذ عن النعيم
أحسن ثم لتسألن
yes
yeah أغن sound so let's recite this surah together أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
ألهاكم التكاثر
ألهاكم التكاثر
Okay, ra has dhamma and it will be changed to sukun. Hatta zurtumul maqabir.
Hatta zurtumul maqabir.
Bir. Right? Light ra sound. Tarqiq. Why? Because we have a kasra
yes,
sound before. But takathur, we have a dhamma sound
dhamma, yes.
before and it has like a heavy sound. Tafkhim and the next one is tarqiq.
حتى زرتم المقابر
حتى زرتم المقابر
بر بر
كلا سوف تعلمون
كلا سوف تعلمون
ثم كلا سوف تعلمون
ثم كلا سوف تعلمون
كلا لو تعلمون علم اليقين
كلا لو تعلمون علم اليقين
لترون الجحيم
لترون الجحيم
ثم لترونها عين اليقين
ثم لترونها عين اليقين
ثم لتسألن يومئذ عن النعيم
ثم لتسألن يومئذ عن النعيم
أحسن Okay, that was the example about Nun Mushaddad So do not forget it, okay? Thank you so much for being with us also in this session. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. But before we end, let's give thanks to IRIB English Radio and also Sevier International School, Schools Network, and also students of Sevier International School. And also me, Habibullah Fasizad. So, Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadi wa alihi al-tahirin.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وجل فرجه
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Sevier International Schools.
شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
Sheikh Baqir Sharif Al-Qarashi decides to compile.
So we can consider Sayyid Hadi Khosrow Shahi one.
Shahid Muhammad Baqir al-Sadr.
He was born in Qadhimiyya.
The first and the most important thing that we can learn from Allama Tabatabai is his great effort.
In this regard, I should like to say that one of the great benefits of the late Ayatollah Sayyid Mahmoud Shahrudi was.
When we look at the works of late Rawzati,
there is a famous sentence from Mirza Khalil Qamarani that he says in Farsi, "Tuhid kalame baraye kalame tuhid."
Be more familiar with outstanding Shia figures in the teacher.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of iRibe English Radio Call of Islam page. This is The Teacher, an introduction into the lives and works of the most outstanding Muslim, Shia dignitaries, scholars, ulama, and authors all across the world of Islam. I am Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio for today's discussion are two guest speakers, one from the Islamic House of Qom, Sheikh Mahtavi, and another from the University of Qom, Dr. Fakh Rouhani. Dr. Fakh Rouhani, assalamu alaikum, welcome to the show.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
And Sheikh Mahtavi, assalamu alaikum, brother.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah.
So in the new series of the program, The Teacher, in the month of Muharram and Safar, we try to dedicate our programs and episodes of the program, The Teacher, to the authors who spend their time in compiling books about Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam or the companions of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. That's why for today, we want to talk about one of the greatest and maybe from among the early generation of the authors who authored and compiled the book regarding the history of Karbala and Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam and the day of Ashura. He is no one but Abu Mikhnaf. Shaykh Mahtavi, let's start with you, brother. First, give us the background or a little bit biography of Abu Mikhnaf, and then we'll get to his magnum opus, Maqtal al-Hussein.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Abu Mikhnaf, as you mentioned, to be honest, based on his biography, we don't know much. Mm-hmm. Because, as you mentioned, he is regarded as one of the early historians who wrote about Imam Hussein alayhi salam and generally wrote about the Islamic history.
Yes.
So when we refer to the historical records, we see that actually his time span is mentioned from 80
That's right.
after Hijrah up until 157. So
that's right. Yeah, so he was born,
middle of the second century.
So he was born maybe 90 years after the story of Ashura and Karbala, isn't it?
Based on this historical account. Yes, that's record, right. Okay. It is regarded. Yeah, you can consider it that way. That 20 years.
20 years. Not
yes, 20 years.
Yes.
Yes, 20 years after the tragedy of Karbala, he was born.
Okay.
But when we go and refer to the historical books and records, we see that some have regarded him as the companions of Amir al-Mu'mineen, alayhi salam. Some other have regarded him as the companions of Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein. But it is possible to say more reliable.
That's right.
Record that is going to regard him as the companions of Imam Sadiq. And yes, we see this record is more fitting his time span. Why? Because we see that his death time is recorded or is reported as 157, and we have Imam Sadiq being martyred exactly on 148.
Okay,
so almost right. 10 years after the martyrdom of Imam Sadiq, he also passed away.
That's all right.
So based on these historical reports, we can say that he is regarded as one of the second century historians who wrote about Imam Hussein's tragedy. So his report and his record could be regarded as one of the genuine and very, very fresh record to the tragedy of Karbala. That's
right.
Why we see many historians after him, including Tabari, the most important Sunni historian, is going to quote almost the whole chapter of Karbala from his report.
That's all
meaning
right.
that okay. what he has wrote regarding the tragedy of Karbala or has been delivered through the book of Tabari is not the whole historical books or historical records that Abu Mikhnaf has written in this regard.
That's right. Okay. So, Dr. Farhwan, in this way, Abu Mekhtaf is considered as a historiographer, isn't it?
Yes.
A historian, a person who wrote many books and authored so many outstanding manuscripts on the history of Islam, including Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam and the tragedy of Karbala. So, you as a researcher on Ashura literature, how did you find the work of Abu Mekhtaf as the first one? Is it believed to be the first one, isn't it?
Yes. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. First of all, I have to thank you and thank Mr. Mahdavi's contributions. In this regard, it must be indicated that among the sources available, among the earliest sources available, Abu Mekhtaf is certainly one of such sources. However, it's believed that he was preceded by a person named Asbagh ibn Nubateh al-Mujashi'i.
That's right.
Okay? Asbagh ibn Nubateh, who was a companion of Imam Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam and who was a resident of Kufa, must be in a better situation in order to gather first-hand information from the people who were over there.
That's right. Okay?
However, Asbagh ibn Nubateh was reportedly an old man. He was too old to take part in the Battle of Karbala on Ashura.
Okay.
At the same time, it must be indicated that at that time, I mean, rewriting history in the present sense of the term wasn't common. Rather, at that time, I mean, when we look at the books and I mean, historical documents indicated, we find that they are either event-oriented or personality-oriented.
That's right.
That is, for example, Waqat al-Siffin is event-oriented, okay, of Nasr ibn Muzahim is event-oriented,
yes,
or Maqtal al-Husayn is personally-oriented, okay?
Yes. Okay?
And these books should be regarded as chronicles. For example,
yes,
in this year, such and such, for example, events took place. Or within this year, for example, in this season, this event took place, and
that's
so
right
on. They go on in this way. At the same time, it must be indicated that one of the important points regarding Abu Mekhtaf is that, okay, he tried to interview either those who were available,
mm-hmm,
or either those who were present on the plain of Karbala,
yes,
or, for example, a person who was present in the time on the plain of Karbala, but
yes,
he died, okay?
Okay.
Now, Abu Mekhtaf went to his elder son, okay?
Uh-huh.
Tell me what your father had told you regarding his experience in Karbala.
Okay.
And from this perspective, we find that the...
So reports, you mean... A kind of
yes,
but reports.
I should like to say that no. Abu Mekhtaf was, a person who had adopted much earlier than, I mean, Western scholars, I mean, research procedures. It was his adoption, or
yes,
it was his, I should like to say that his sagacity, research
yes
sagacity, to have adopted an interview-based history or field research in this regard. So from this perspective, we can say that he was after finding, I mean, first-hand reports. But at the
yes
same time, some of these reports,
yes,
okay, may sound not to be that much harmonious with each other,
okay,
but he did his best in this regard.
That's all right.
Yes.
And was it in the shape of a book at the first look, or no, there were some papers here and there, and then,
no,
for example...
No, some notes and papers.
The next generations were
yes
changed it into in a revision form, an edition form into
yes
a book.
Yes, if
huh
you, for example, if you consider, for example, very important historical documents or even religious records, you find that, okay, they can rarely be found to be in the form of several chapters or several paragraphs, okay? The
that's
whole
right
text is continuous, and it's like a running on text, okay?
Okay, that's all right.
I mean, so, I mean, these, I mean, intertextual divisions
mm-hmm
should be, I mean, later developments, I mean, applied in the case of books.
That's
however,
right,
content-wise, it's believed that Abu Mekhtaf was amongst the, I mean, earliest generations of those people who endeavored to come up with a history of what took place on Ashura.
That's all
yes
right, on the day of Ashura. I'll get back to you asking some questions about the main content now, Sheikh Mahtavi. So these are some, can I say, several reports that has to be gathered and then changed into a shape of the book. And the next generation of the scholars and ulama of the Shiite world, you know, has changed it into a book called Al-Maqtal al-Husayn, isn't it?
Yes.
So talk a little bit about this authenticity of the reports in this book for us.
As I think briefly it was mentioned in our program so far, we have to come to this point that today we cannot say we have one authentic book which has been written by Abu Mekhnaf as Waqat al-Taf.
That's right.
Whatever we have right now is the piece of the documents and reports and records which is found in Tariq Tabari and Al-Irshad, the Sheikh Mufid.
Okay.
Two scholars, better to say scholars, because Tabari is mainly known as the historians who has been living during the 4th century. He passed away around, 310. So, mainly the things that we have regarding Maqtal Abu Mekhnaf is the records and reports that was gathered by Tabari in his book.
That's right.
Tarikh al-Rusul. The full name of his book is Tarikh al-Rusul wal-Muluk.
That's right.
And the other book that we can find some other reports and records in is the Al-Irshad. That's which right. is written by Sheikh Mufid, the Shia scholar who is living during the who passed away in 413.
You mean these two outstanding scholars, I mean At-Tabari and Sheikh Al-Mufid, we can say reported from Abu Mekhnaf, isn't it?
They had direct access to the
text.
Yes,
that's right.
Whatever today we know as Maqtal Abi Mekhnaf. And then so it's better to say what we are going to take and open and read and refer to as Maqtal Abi Mekhnaf today is not the same thing that has been gathered by Abi Mekhnaf himself.
That's right.
This is after one generation, and then they quote whatever they had in their access.
That's right.
I mean, Tabari and Sheikh Mufid.
Yes.
And today we have some of the authors, mainly in Farsi, as Mr. Gharavi. He gathered and compiled.
Yusufi Gharavi.
Yes,
right.
He compiled all things which are quoted from Maqtal Abi Mekhnaf in both books, Tabari and Al-Irshad, and he put it in the form of book.
So this is a comparative study, as you said, isn't it?
It could be said in one sense, not in a sense that it's kind of comparative studies that, you are going to drop some sorts and then put some other sorts in your book.
Okay.
Just gather as much as possible from two sources, whatever which is quoted from Abu Mekhnaf.
That's all right. And Dr. Fakhwani, are there several, for example, Arabic revisions of the book available in the markets too about Abu Mekhnaf?
Yes.
You know, for his, what are they?
Yes, but in the beginning it must be indicated that the seminal contribution of Ayatollah Muhammad Hadi Yusufi Gharavi lies in the fact that he has reconstructed Abu Mekhnaf's account.
Okay, how?
Yeah, I mean, as Mr. Mahdavi indicated, he, compared and contrasted, various versions of Tabari and Sheikh Mufid. I mean, Tabari's history book and, Sheikh Mufid's book, Kitab al-Irshad. And for the attention, for further information of the audience, I should like to mention that both of these books have been translated into English. I mean, Tabari's book was translated in several volumes published in America, if I'm not mistaken, by Columbia University, if I'm not mistaken. And Kitab al-Irshad was also published, translated into English from the Arabic original, and its translator was Jan Howard, who was a British scholar of Arabic literature, his translation, his English translation, was published in London in 1981, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
However, it must be indicated that prior to Muhammad Hadi Yusufi Gharavi's reconstructed account, there were several other Arabic versions, commonly known